Hello all, and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. I hope so far you've had a good weekend and that you're preparing to get ready for the week ahead and that you have a great week ahead of you. But for now, as we do here on Everyday Black History, we're going to get into some black history. And we're going to talk about a man by the name of Henry McBay. And Henry McBay was a chemist, and his discoveries allowed chemists around the world to create inexpensive peroxide compounds used in chemical compositions. But we'll get into that a little bit later. We're going to get into some background information on him. He was born Henry Ransom Cecil McBay in 1914 in Texas. His father, William McBay, was a barber who became a funeral director, and his mom, Roberta Ransom, was a seamstress. But he received a good education when he was young, and he was proficient in math. And because he was so good at math, he was able to get into college. He was able to gain admission to Wiley College, which is located in Marshall, Texas. And he was able to pay for his education by working at the post office, as well as working at the college's dining hall. And he was inspired by some professors that he met that was in the college, and so he decided to study organic chemistry, and he earned his bachelor's degree in 1934. And his professors there at Wiley helped him to receive a scholarship so that he can go to Atlanta to work on his next degree. He went down to Atlanta and took a job at Atlanta University in the dining hall so that he can eat. And then one of the professors there, the faculty advisor, Professor K.A. Huggins, arranged for him to work in the chemistry laboratory. Now, when he went to Atlanta, he only had $1.65 in his pocket. You know, talk about taking a chance. So when he took the job at Atlanta University in the dining hall, he did so that he can eat. But due to the help of these nice professors there, he was able to get a job. And he, while working at the chemistry laboratory, he worked with Professor K.A. Huggins, and he helped him study new types of plastics that had properties that were similar to rubber. And soon, he got so comfortable in the lab that he was performing his own analysis on the plastics. And when that project was done, he received his master's degree from Atlanta University, and Professor Huggins received his doctorate degree from the University of Chicago. And we'll see later on that, that's kind of like a 6 degree of separation, because he has some ties to the University of Chicago, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But after he earned his master's degree, he went back from Atlanta University back to Wiley College so that he could help his younger brother and sister to pay for college. But while there, it was unfortunate because he mentioned how he was never really accepted by his academic. The faculty members there still saw him as one of their little students that they helped out, you know, years ago. They didn't really accept him as a peer, so it was kind of a disappointing experience for him. You know, he come back as a man, they still treating him as a kid. But since he wanted to get his brother and sister through college, he dealt with it. And he was able to get them, his brother, into college, and his brother received the college degree, and his parents were able to then pay for his sister's education as well. After that, he went to Kansas, where he took a teaching job at a junior college there, and at the end of his first year there, in 1939, he enrolled at the University of Chicago summer school program, where he took, you know, he received good grades while he was in the program there. And then when he went back to Kansas, his job was gone. You know, he took a summer, he go for the summer to do a summer program in Chicago. He goes back to Kansas to the junior college that he had this teaching job at, and his job is gone. The principal there, for political reasons, hired someone else in his place. So imagine that. You go away for the summer, you come back, thinking you're going to go back to work, and now your job is gone. So from there, he went to Huntsville, Texas, where he took a high school mathematics teaching position, and he was there for a little while. And after that, he joined a research team at the Tuskegee Institute, and he was assigned the task of finding suitable substitute for jute fiber. Indian shipments of jute, which was used for rope and fabrics for sacks, had ended, you know, due to World War I, because this was during that time. They found a way in the Tuskegee Institute, they found a way that okra stems could be used as a substitute. But he actually found that that the okra plant is not really good, because once the plant matures, the stems become brittle, and that they wouldn't be useful after they become mature. So he ended up, because of his discoveries on that, he ended up kind of working himself out of a job, you know, because he showed them that it wasn't that effective. But this is going to show you how good he was at, you know, the research, and at how good he was at finding, you know, the solution to the problem, even if it did result a few times in him losing jobs. But after that, he went to back to the University of Chicago, where he accepted a teaching assistant's position, and he also resumed his doctoral studies. Now, at the time, if you were a chemistry student, you didn't get drafted into the military, because they needed chemistry graduates, you know, during that time for the research. And, you know, he always demonstrated his love for teaching by designing a chemistry course for the first year college students. But he began to learn very specialized techniques when he connected with Professor Morris, I think it's Karask. Well, he was a research advisor. And when he connected with this professor, he began to learn these specialized techniques in handling dangerous compounds. And he began to create highly explosive materials that offered great value as chemical building blocks. And so he developed new methods of producing a dangerous compound from hydrogen peroxide. And his discoveries, you know, in this, as we mentioned already, it allowed chemists from all around the world to create inexpensive peroxide compounds, which are extremely useful as building blocks in many chemical reactions. And as a result of his research, he received the Elizabeth Norton Prize for Excellence in Chemical Research in both 1944 and 1945. And his doctoral dissertation focused on his hydrogen peroxide project. And he received his doctorate degree from the University of Chicago in 1945. After that, he returned to Atlanta again, where he was a professor at Morehouse College. And he was appointed in 1956, he was appointed the chairman of the chemistry department there. He stayed in the Atlanta University system for many, many years. In 1982, he went back to Atlanta University, and he became the Fuller E. Calloway Professor of Chemistry there. He taught for 41 years in the Atlanta University system between Morehouse, Spelman, and Atlanta University. He taught for 41 years. And he had such a love for chemistry. You know, so many people who talked about him described his love for chemistry, and talked about how he regularly demonstrated how two materials can be combined to produce something with completely different properties, because he saw this as a minor miracle. So he had a frequent demonstration where he would combine metallic poison, sodium, with a gaseous poison, chlorine, and he would mix all these together to produce table salt. And so he wanted them to have the same fascination as he did, because these are kind of minor miracles, being able to create something different with these different compounds. And he even had, you know, things on a social scale as well. In 1951, he developed a chemistry education program in Liberia on behalf of the United Nations Education, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. So his legacy lives on. I mean, he received many, many awards throughout his career for his discoveries. Even after he died, he still received awards and honors because of his work. He was even issued two patents posthumously, one for a fire extinguishing capsule, and another for a device for the synthesis of dimeric species. So because of his research, these other inventions were able to be created, so he received the patent posthumously for these two inventions. So he's even an inventor as well, even though he wasn't alive, you know, to see it. But Henry Cecil McBay, we thank you for your contribution to Black history and Black culture, and we salute you. And that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. Please remember to tune in As we always, you know, come, we talk about Black history here. We always highlight men, women, and institutions that meant a lot to our history and our culture. Please continue to support us. We're on YouTube, Everyday Black History, Facebook, Instagram. We're on all those platforms. So please continue to support us and stay tuned for the next episode.